I'll read yours and then you can okay. read mine and we'll say if we agree.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like an Enneagram is about to cancel me. I just kind of feel like they're going to say something like, oh, it's too true, I've been canceled. Hello and welcome to Under Our Roof. My name is Grace.
And I'm Lizzie.
And welcome to our podcast, What's Going On Under Our Roof.
This is episode number 2, and we're releasing 3 in one day to start. So if you're hearing this, there should be 2 others waiting for you, if not more, if you're listening to this later. There's going to be at least 3, so if people like it, they can binge 3 episodes.
And if they hate it, they can leave now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Figuring out what's for you. Okay, so this second episode is going to be the who. The first episode was more of the what is this podcast? And now we're going to go a little more in depth about Grace and me and our relationship, especially if someone finds us through this, then you can get to know us a little bit. Babe, for my sweet old fashioned babe. All right, there's 3 or 4 main areas that I want to talk about for us. And I think we should talk about us as individuals first, because we're individuals first and we knew each other before we met.
Actually, we've just been together this whole time.
No, but
our entire lives.
Then we'll move to us as a couple after talking about us as people. Individual people.
I don't know. Individual people. Okay, wait. So in this episode, this is a get-to-know-you episode, as I understand. That is what we are doing.
Yes.
And so we're going to get to know each other.
Well, it's for the listeners to get to know us.
Oh, right.
But we might learn things about each other, too.
Probably not.
No, we might.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm going to make a bet right now. I think I'm going to learn nothing new.
Okay, little Debbie Downer.
I think I'm going to learn nothing new. All right.
So kind of I came up with the concepts for how we could get to know ourselves. I scratched that.
I think we are going to struggle with talking about ourselves, and that is okay, because I think that the opposite would be more concerning.
True.
So that's fine. We're doing an intro episode about who we are, and we'll be candid with you. We feel a little awkward about doing it. You can't have a podcast and not let people know who you're listening to.
Right.
So that's what we're going to do. Who are we, Lizzie?
Okay, well... And the other thing is, the way that the topics that I came up with are kind of what I would want to get to know about someone if they came over to our house and I didn't know them that well. So kind of like icebreakers and fun things.
Cool.
First thing I want to talk about is Enneagrams. Now, if you've never heard of an Enneagram type, it's a typing system. There's 9 personality types. And everyone falls into one. There are tests you can take, but it's not exactly a personality test. It's just a typing system. But there are tests that can help you figure out what yours is. And we both know ours. I'm a type 2.
I'm a type 9.
And I think when we found out these personality types a year or so ago, it really helped us understand each other more.
Understand ourselves.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I know that we are going to talk about our star signs later in
this
episode. Yeah,
that's just more for fun.
Sure. I have always thought it was fun that I'm a Scorpio. I think it's a cool sign, but it's really kind of give or take whether or not the memes or the predictions, the horoscopes, and the newspapers would correlate with my life at all. However, when I took this test, kind of sleepily, you were just asking me questions before bed one night, and I was answering yes or no, and then you read me my type as an Enneagram 9, and I don't think I have ever seen a meme or an expression or a tweet about an Enneagram 9 that I did not say, oh man, that hits.
Like, yeah, it's really accurate when you figure out your type. It's pretty wild to, you just feel very almost like attacked.
Exposed. I feel exposed.
Yeah, exposed when someone knows your type. So by the way, I'll put a quiz in the show notes that you can link to and take the test if you're curious and you don't know your type. But I thought it'd be fun to kind of illustrate how Enneagrams do say a lot about us. I guess we should say what a type 9 and what a type 2 generally is.
Like the name of
them, and a little
what
bit
they
about
call them.
It.
Okay.
So I'm a type 2, which the name of it is the helper. And it's somebody who kind of finds themselves in relation to other people and always is the one. It's hard to describe it too without seeming almost like conceited or something.
Well, I mean, I think that's the thing with every sign. There isn't a sign or a personality type within the Enneagram or, I mean, as far as I know, within astrology or anything that just is like, yeah, sorry, this sign just sucks. Like,
well, people say that about Geminis, which is what I am.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing with it. That's a joke. But there isn't actually, like, if you get this on the personality quiz or whatever, you suck. There isn't, like, a Myers-Briggs that's just like, ah, like, people just hate you. Like,
well, no. And of course, there's healthy and unhealthy versions of every sign and every type. So with Enneagram 2, you tend to like to help people and kind of be of service in some way, and that's how you can feel fulfilled. If it's like you're able to help someone solve a problem, you'll feel really close to them and you'll feel good about yourself too. Mm-hmm. So that's the general background of my type. And then Grace is a 9, which is the peacemaker.
Yes, which means that we are doormats.
No.
And we hate confrontation and we love peace. And social interactions can be very exhausting for us, so we like naps.
Yes.
These are the things that I relate to.
Okay, so I thought it'd be fun. I looked up sort of like I statements online on, I forget the website. If I can find it again, I'll link it in the show notes. But it was statements that are like, I am this way because I'm a type 9. And I picked a few of them. There were a lot and I didn't want to read that many.
But I'm going to be so exposed.
I wanted to read them.
Oh, no.
For each of us. Or maybe I'll read yours and then you can read mine and we'll say if we agree.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like an Enneagram is about to cancel me. I just kind of feel like they're going to say something like, oh, it's too true, I've been canceled.
As a type 9, do you think this is true?
Yeah.
I like to be calm and unhurried, but sometimes I overextend myself.
1,000%.
Yeah.
I overextend myself as we sit here late at night recording a podcast. On top of the 5 million other things I'm doing? Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and then this one kind of goes with that, and I would be shocked if you disagreed with this. Mm-hmm. I like to be sure to have time in my day for relaxing.
Oh, that's so funny.
Grace has to relax.
Oh, my friends, let me tell you, I have never been... I don't think there's ever been a better person at building in nap time into their day and functioning throughout the day.
Yeah.
But like, I would say between the hours of 2 and 4 p.m. for me, open season for naps.
Yeah.
Open season for naps. Absolutely. And I can build it in and I can give myself like an hour and then I'm up and at 'em drinking some coffee and I'm more productive if I do that. But the world for me is tiring.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tiring being me.
Yeah. You like to relax. To sleep. I mean, everyone likes to relax, but you have to have time in your day that you're relaxing or you're really thrown off.
It's going to be fun with kids one day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so next. Sometimes I feel shy and unsure of myself.
Yeah, that's true. I think that you might not expect that given the career choices I've made, which are very public on the internet. You know, the internet is sort of a public forum and you put yourself out there, see what sticks and who relates to you. And I've chosen to do that with my career. And I love what I do. I really love the lane that I've made for myself. So you might be surprised to learn that I am a pretty uncertain, a bit shy of a person, very uncomfortable with being noticed in real life. And yeah, I don't really feel that way about public speaking, though, which I guess is another way of just being in the public eye that doesn't really feel as intrusive. But if I was around like 5 people, I get quite self-conscious. Mm-hmm. But if it's like 500 people, it's okay.
Yeah. Okay, so next is I am very sensitive about being judged and take criticism personally.
Oh, no. Yes, yeah. I do. Yeah, but I think that actually, if I was in an unhealthier place in my life, this would be more true. Mm-hmm. I relate to that very much at other times in my life, but I think that actually in our marriage and in the friends and the support system that we've built, I am a lot better at taking criticism because I think that I have a really healthy support system. Mm-hmm. So I 'cause again, most of my life and work is on the internet. So I get people sliding in my DMs like, either sending me to hell or just being like, I don't like what you do, like all the time.
Yeah.
In a way that a lot of jobs don't receive, but it doesn't stick to me, at least not right now.
That's good. And then the last one for a type 9 is, I operate under the principle of inertia. If I'm going, it's easy to keep going, but I sometimes have a hard time getting started.
Huge. That's major for me.
I think that's you to a T.
If I'm in a rut, if I'm in a rut being unproductive or whatever it is, we got to find a way to get me out of there. Because I definitely can take nosedives when it comes to my mental health, productivity, just my well-being. And so long as I can kind of keep chugging along, we're good, I guess. Can I read yours?
Yeah, I was going to hand it over.
You've read these before?
I mean, I read them, but I tried not to really dwell on my answers too much in advance.
Okay, this is a 2. Lizzie, relationships are more important to you than almost anything.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, just generally relationships, not just romantic relationships.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just the way I relate to people, that's the bottom line. If my dynamic with someone isn't good, it doesn't really matter what else is going on because I'll only be able to see that.
Mm. You have trouble asking for what you need.
Yeah. I think that's definitely true. I mean, and again, not just with us, even though I've gotten a lot better about that, about just being straight up like, hey, I just like need attention, or I just need you to like rub the spot on my back or whatever. I have gotten a lot better about that. But in other settings, it's like, it's not just that I know like, oh, I really need this person to do this for me. I don't even conceptualize what I actually need. And I think that's part of why I have a hard time asking for it.
Because it's so out of your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I feel a lack. I definitely can feel thrown off. It's not like I'm like, everything's great. I don't need anything. Of course I have needs, but
I feel like for the first 3 or 4 years of our relationship, you didn't ask for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really hard for you to ask.
Yeah.
It would be like lengthy conversations to get to what you wanted. And sometimes it'd be things like, I do want you to come visit this weekend. Lizzie and I were long distance for 3 years. So that's probably a conversation for another episode about how we navigated that.
We should definitely do an episode.
And I know that there were some times when, you know, because you were in Berkeley, I was in Los Angeles, where we wouldn't really have a concrete plan. And I'm not really a planner. So I'd be like, maybe I'll visit this weekend. Like maybe I'll drive up, maybe not. Depends on what it is. And I remember having a few conversations with you where it just, I could tell that you like wanted me to visit. Like you wanted to ask, like, I really want to see you this weekend. Can you drive up? And it was hard for you to just say that. It would be like a week of conversations about kind of talking around it. And eventually we'd kind of get there.
Yeah.
Okay. 3, you are very sensitive to criticism.
Yes, you know that's true.
Very true.
It's very true of me. And I think it's funny that both of our types have that. So 5 stars only on the reviews.
That's so funny.
We cannot handle it.
Please only leave a review if it's positive.
I mean, I'm kind of kidding. We obviously...
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, but both of our types are sensitive.
Yeah. That you can criticize us. We got each other, okay? We'll be good. Yeah. Please be you know, open season also on the criticism. You enjoy giving compliments and telling people that they are special to you.
Yeah. You know, I constantly am like gassing up my friends and like buttering people up, but I really mean it.
I think this is another thing that we have in common. I think as far as affirmations, it's something that comes easily to us. We're not shy on saying, I love yous, I'm proud of you, this is amazing. And it's definitely a quality in you that I really admire. I think you also take it a step further than a lot of people, at least people I know, because you still send cards to tell people that you're excited about something happening in their life or that you just care about them.
I love sending cards, yeah.
You are attracted to being with... this one's funny, sorry. You are attracted to being with important or powerful people.
Here's a funny thing. I included this one because I wanted one that wasn't just like a yes, but the truth is, I think that's kind of true. I feel like I find myself around powerful people. And I just thought that's life. But then, like, there's always powerful
what do you mean
people.
By, but what do you mean by powerful people?
Well, just, I mean, even in my career, I'm always around, like, owners of law firms and, like, judges and, you know, stuff like that. And just, I guess the older adults in my life, I mean, I'm an adult, I'm 29, but the people who are 30 plus years older than I am, they tend to be really successful. And I think I seek out mentors like that.
I think something I've noticed about you is I don't think that you are easily intimidated by people who are powerful or society would deem successful.
I agree with that. I don't get intimidated often by people, sometimes by a situation or something.
I mean, it's also like, as long as I've known you, you've never been starstruck about anything.
No, I don't really get starstruck. There's probably a couple people that I would get starstruck by. I can't even think of who, but like, I don't know.
I can think of who. We were starstruck when we met Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, yeah. No, I was thinking of that.
We met Carly Rae Jepsen at a concert, and then don't let Lizzie lie to you. We walked to Denny's afterwards, and she was singing into her Diet Coke straw because she was so giddy for meeting Carly Rae Jepsen.
There's people like that that are so, like, random in the eyes of the world, but to me are... I mean, Carly Rae Jepsen is beloved in the eyes of the world, but I just mean probably wouldn't
Carly Rae Jepsen... needs to be beloved in the eyes of certainly this podcast. If you are listening to this right now and you haven't listened to the discography of sweet, sweet Carly Rae Jepsen, I'm going to need you to turn this off.
And go listen.
And you need to listen to Emotion, the A-sides and the B-sides.
Yeah.
And then you need to listen to Dedicated, the A-sides and the B-sides, at least. There are other things I could recommend to you as well, but she makes incredible music.
Yeah.
So you are warranted in being starstruck.
So I was starstruck meeting Carly Rae Jepsen, but I feel like I mean, I don't meet that many celebrities, but when I have been around famous, quote unquote, people, it doesn't really faze me that much. My favorite people in the world are not famous or like powerful in a worldly sense. So I don't think it's like I'm power hungry, but I do find myself around a lot of successful people.
Interesting. People have said that you exaggerate too much or are overly emotional.
Yeah. You say that. No. You say that I exaggerate. I don't think I exaggerate in a, like, unhealthy way where I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I have all this stuff and I'm great and, like, I'm, like, hyping myself up too much. But I exaggerate a story for the drama.
Oh, my gosh. You're not a liar.
No.
You're not a liar. It's not that.
But I'll be like, this was crazy. This person was yelling and we were all screaming. And it's like, okay. It's like,
Something that I laugh about with Lizzie's stories is that people often in these stories will have been yelling or screaming.
And they weren't.
And I didn't know that when we first started dating. So you tell me these stories. You're like, like my sister was screaming and blah, blah, blah. And then I would be around your family and a situation would have occurred where no voices were raised. And then you would go and tell your brother, your sister, you're like, yeah, like mom was there and like mom was screaming. And I'm like, wait a second, mom, you're where I was there. No one screamed. And you're like telling it to another member of the family. I'm like, but you guys know that everyone was speaking calmly.
I know I do exaggerate stories, but not in a lying way, just in a fun way, because it's more of a fun story.
Saying like a campy way.
Yeah.
Kind of dress it up. It's not like you're lying about, you know, having a sports car or something like that.
Like I would care about that.
I'm trying to imagine. What do people lie about sports cars? I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. So that's Enneagrams. And I would encourage you to find out your Enneagram type and the people in your life, your loved ones' Enneagram types, because it could really help you understand them better.
I want to cut through the clouds, break the ceiling. I want to dance on the roof, you and me.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about star signs, just gloss over it. I don't think we need to go in as in-depth as we did for Enneagrams, but it is fun. And I'll just say I'm a Gemini. And Grace is a Scorpio.
I'm a Scorpio.
And I have kind of reached the next level of understanding astrology where I know my moon and rising signs now. And that made a huge difference in actually kind of believing astrology. I'm not, what's the word?
astrologist.
Yeah, I'm not that well educated on all of it, but it's fun. And if you get something out of it, then great.
Well, as a bit of a follow-up to this, how do you sort of navigate being a Christian with astrology? Because this is something that I hear about anytime. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm a Scorpio. They're like, well, why would you care? Like, you're a Christian first. I'm like, I don't worship a Scorpio.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, honestly, here's the thing. No disrespect at all to any practicing astrologers. If that's kind of your moral compass and that's your belief system, if you consider it that, then great. But for me, I guess I would say, like, the conflict, I'm using that word in quotes, between like faith and astrology, like it's not that deep. Mm-hmm. It's really not. At least I don't think of it that way.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, it's fun. Plus, I mean, if you're a person of faith and you would totally believe God made the planets, right? And the sun and the moon. Mm-hmm. So why couldn't those things have weight and power in the way they move and they could affect you? Your personality or your life. I mean, we know that the moon moves the ocean. Mm-hmm. So why not, you know, Venus in Scorpio making your communication style a certain way? Why not?
Yeah,
it's not that deep.
I have no idea.
I mean, the
words you just said to me sounded truly like another language.
I mean, it is
Venus
deep.
And Scorpio moving your moon sign like the oceans.
Why not?
Am I drunk? I don't know what any of that means.
I feel like people are going to be coming for me who practice astrology deeply, and I actually have the utmost respect for that. It's an ancient practice, and it's really cool, so I don't mean to make light of it. But just for me, it does not present a conflict with faith and religion. It's all part of the same mystery of life, and yeah. Love it all.
I don't think people are going to come for you for
I don't know.
That.
Just... I just don't want to make light of it because people devote their careers to it and more power to them. I mean, it's really interesting and it can really help people. I have a little surprise.
Oh no. You do have
for
a surprise?
You. Yeah, I mean a small surprise. So I was texting with your mom today.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, for context, I love Grace's mom. Like, we text. She's the best. So it's not weird that I would be texting her. But I asked, I said, okay, I have a quick question. Because I have never known Grace's moon and rising signs because I didn't know what time she was born. And so I was like, wait, I can figure this out for the podcast.
My sweet, sweet mom.
Yeah. So I texted her. I was like, quick question. When you have a chance, do you happen to know Grace's time of birth? And she sent me the cutest text and I took a screenshot when she sent it to me and I'll put it in the show notes because it's that cute. She says, Gracie was born at 7:04 p.m. November 12th. 1990 at Hilton Head Hospital. She was an easy delivery. Thank goodness.
Oh my gosh.
So cute.
Wait, can I want to see what else you texted with my mom.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That is so cute.
I know.
My sweet little
mom. She's the best. Yeah. She's like, I'll check on that shortly.
Can she be a guest on the podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. So I took that knowledge and I found out you are a Scorpio sun, as we know. Mm-hmm. So for those who don't know, your main quote-unquote sign that you probably think of is your sun sign. And then your moon is a Libra.
I have no idea what that means.
My brother's a Libra sun.
Oh, cool.
And a Libra... I mean, yeah, my brother's a Libra sun. A Libra moon is someone who is very emotional. I can't remember that much else off the top of my head, but... but then the interesting thing is your rising sign is a Gemini, which is my sun sign.
I'm crazy.
Hey. But I actually really liked the description of that one because your rising sign, part of it is it governs communication. And so you have a Gemini in that sign, which makes you really able to see two sides of things and bring people together and have conversations. And I was like, whoa, that really fits you.
That's so interesting.
I know. And for anyone who's curious, I'm a Gemini sun, a Leo rising, and a Virgo moon. But that probably means very little to a lot of people. But if you're into that stuff, there you have it.
There you have it.
And then, okay, one other thing before our bucket list, which I want to get to, is I just briefly want to touch on birth order because I think that's also kind of makes up who you are. I'm the oldest child.
And I am the baby.
And... the oldest child. Okay, so I found an interesting article on parents.com. I'll link it in the show notes.
Is that really a website?
Yeah.
You know that someone's just exacerbated like having a newborn. Parents.com. Help me.
Yeah, so I found this article about birth order, and there's lots of stuff on birth order. It's really fascinating. But the oldest tends to be the caregiver. An oldest child has like a caregiver tendency, which goes with my Enneagram too. And I definitely agree with that. And the oldest child also tends to be a perfectionist and kind of an overachiever.
What? Oh my gosh, that's nothing like you. I'm being sarcastic. And that is exactly like Lizzie.
Fun fact, the oldest child statistically has a higher IQ and makes more money than their siblings.
Oh, watch out, Blair and Anna. Watch out, guys.
And then the youngest, so Grace is the youngest.
This should be good.
Little cute youngest child. Easy delivery.
Easy delivery, very cute baby, can't
Such
confirm.
Such a cute baby.
Liked napping from an early age.
We should put a baby photo of
Absolutely.
You in the show notes. Grace was one of the cutest babies I've ever seen.
I was. I won't
I'm
argue
really
with
that
fact. I really don't think, you know, that I'm conceited these days with regards to my appearance, but I'm not going to lie to y'all. When I was a baby, I really, really slayed. The fact that I wasn't a child model or actress or something like that, my parents really slept on that.
Yeah,
so.
They did. But the youngest characteristics are fun-loving, uncomplicated, attention-seeker.
Oh, no. Are you just reading me for filth?
Even though they have lower IQ and earning potential than their oldest child, they tend to score higher on agreeableness in personality tests.
Well, there you go. I'm extremely agreeable. Doesn't that count for something?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so last thing on like the about us, I want to talk about our bucket lists, like true life bucket lists. I make bucket lists for the season sometimes, like fall bucket list. What do we want to do? Fall fun. But I'm talking about a real bucket list. Like these are the small handful of things that I really want to do in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I asked you earlier today to think about this. So I'm curious what yours are, but here's mine. I want to publish a book. I want to build a dream house. That's probably a long way away. I want to have children, love to have children one day, and two more. I really want to have Christmas in Hawaii, which seems pretty attainable, but I would love to spend Christmas in Hawaii one year. And lastly, I want to do some kind of like pivot later in life, like totally switch my career or like do something really unexpected. I know that's kind of vague, but just change and do something really different later in life.
Mm-hmm. But I like that. That's something that you're already open to and looking forward to now when you're still in your 20s. I think that's really cool. Okay, so we have a few things in common on those bucket lists, which I suppose is good, given that we're married. A bucket list item for me is also to have a family. I one day would love to have a blue nose pit bull.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know specifically why this has been a dream of mine. It's very specific. I love those little blue, I'm saying blue, but they're more grayish colored pit bulls with just the giant cheeks. You can find them at every single shelter. And I just think they're extremely cute. So one day that's like my dream dog. No offense, Bean. He's under the table. I want to go on tour. And by that, I don't know what that looks like either, but I want to go on a tour. I also want to build a home, but I think it goes a little bit beyond what you said. I want to build like a compound almost, or just I want to build on a larger property that our family could visit with some regularity that you and I could retire to and sort of have that as like a legacy for the generations to come. Oh, I want to get a lot more tattoos. I hope that when my body is on its last days here on Earth, that it's been very customized, as I like to say.
Those are all so good. I have two fun things that I want to do to like quickly tell the story of us.
Okay.
First, I want us to each say, and I haven't thought of mine yet. I'm going to think of it on the spot, but I want to describe our relationship, the story of our relationship in one sentence each.
The story of our relationship?
But then we'll go more in depth, but like say it in a sentence, like a tagline.
The log line. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let me try to think of mine. I would say quasi-college sweethearts move across the country, make it work, fall in love.
Okay, these are a lot of little mini sentences.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay. I still like quasi-college sweethearts because it's kind of what we were. Quasi-college sweethearts, and they lived happily ever after.
I like that. I think that's really nice. Let me think of my... Okay, so this is our relationship in a log line.
Think of it like, you know that game we play in the car sometimes where you like describe a movie, yeah, very badly? Do that.
Yeah.
But for our relationship.
Okay. A pleasantly queer surprise in rural North Carolina leads to marriage in California.
Oh, that one's so good.
Because I didn't know who you were when we met in class, and I definitely didn't know that you were also gay.
Yeah.
So that was a very pleasant surprise. And even though we didn't start dating until after you'd graduated, mm-hmm, it was just a lovely time to be on that campus in rural North Carolina.
Yeah.
I think that I was pretty shy about being out, even though I was out to a handful of people on campus. I just didn't think there was anyone else like me, because there weren't that many people that were out. And so to meet you was really wonderful. It was just such a wonderful surprise for so many reasons, mm-hmm, even if you didn't end up wanting to date me, which honestly, at the beginning, I would have had no idea that you were interested in me. It was just nice to know, as I heard in our little group project essays that you had to read aloud in that class, that you were gay and that you were so gay that you were like saying it in a college essay. I was like, damn, like she's really out. Like that's unexpected and very nice.
Aww. Okay. So I want to catch everybody up to the present by doing it like, you know, popcorn style, like reading.
Oh my gosh.
I want to do that, okay, yeah, but like we'll go back and forth to tell the whole story one sentence at a time.
One sentence at a time? Okay,
yeah,
stick to one sentence. Don't do a bunch of mini ones.
I will. Okay, well, I think we've already established that we met in college. So
yes,
that'll be my sentence. We met in college.
You moved to Berkeley.
You moved to LA.
We were texting.
And then you decided to drive from LA to Berkeley.
Yes. And we hit it off. We went on a date.
And then we spent a whole long weekend together.
And then we kept dating. We never stopped dating.
So we went back and forth from LA to Berkeley for 3 years while I was in law school.
Then eventually you moved out to LA.
And then we lived a mile apart for a year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, somewhere in there we got a dog named Casper.
Oh, yeah. And we decided to drive to Alaska and bring Casper.
And then Casper died.
Right before the trip.
Right before the trip on Lizzie's birthday.
And then we adopted another dog so we could have a dog to take with us on the trip. And that's Willie, who we still have.
Because we planned the trip specifically for a dog. And also we just love having dogs. And so we went back to the same shelter where we adopted Casper and we got Willie.
And then we took him on the trip and Grace proposed.
And you said yes.
And then we drove back to LA.
We moved in together.
And then we planned our wedding and we got married 10 months after we got engaged.
Mm-hmm. And we honeymooned in Hawaii.
And then we just kicked it.
Yeah, we just kind of hung out.
We hung out for a couple more years and here we are.
And that's where we are right now. I don't know what comes next. Nor do you. I'm talking to the listener. Like, literally no one knows what comes next right now. We're recording this for context. Sometime in September of 2020. So when I say that no one knows what comes next,
we really don't.
I mean that.
Yeah. So that's the story of us.
In a nutshell. Under our roof, if you will. So come here, my darling. Come here. So if you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening to Under Our Roof and you didn't know who we were before you started listening, well, thanks for making it this far. And we hope that you learned a little bit about us. Our hope for this podcast is just to create a space that is really accessible and chill and undeniably and very proudly queer. And that's who we are. And this is our life together. And we're really excited to continue to share it with you. If you would like to listen to more episodes, please check out our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Look up Under Our Roof. That is U-N-D-E-R. I don't know how people do this. O-U-R-R-O-O-F.
I don't think anyone would not know how to spell. But maybe they would think it was like under R-A-R-E roof.
No, we're not that cool. This is not a Gen Z podcast.
Like I said earlier, there's two other episodes out today. And the next one, number 3, is an advice column style where we got some listener questions that we answered. We're really excited for everybody to hear them. And if you like them, please do give us a rating and review because that's one of the best ways that we can grow and share this with more people.
All right. Well, have a wonderful rest of your day or evening, wherever you are. We wish you well. And we'll see you some other time.
Bye.
Bye.